WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin.
It's just a matter of what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
Johnny Wrestling's back in the ring. Dexter Lumis is keeping your children safe at night. And Dominic Mysterio continues to be a sub to his poppy, Rhea Ripley. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin, that's Lindsay Ward.
But the real question is, why was Finn Balor dressed as a pirate?
Yarr. He's a week early.
He is.
Let's talk like a pirate's what, next Monday?
Yeah. Brent's already.
Brent's already. He has it in his calendar and everything. His phone. He's prepared for Talk Like a Pirate Day. So anyway, things that happened on the show included the crowning of new Raw Tag Team Women's Tag Team Champions. Io Sky, Dakota Kai, took down Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah. This was a good showing by the former champions, but Bayley's interference was a little too much and allowed Dakota to hit the backstabber, destroyer thing, whatever she does, for the victory. And they took home the Tag Team Championships.
Are you happy, Internet?
Are you happy? Because Aaliyah and Raquel were gelling as a team. They were doing some good stuff last week. And now you take the belts off of them in just 2 weeks? Come on. Come on, WWE. How dare you? Could have let them hold the belts longer. Io and Dakota didn't need the belts just yet.
I mean, it is what it is. It's obvious that it was good for Aaliyah and Raquel to get the titles. It was good for them to hold them. It was something different. It was something shocking. It got people talking. I hope they get them back in the future, because I liked what they were doing. I liked the work that they were doing.
Keep building them as a team. It works.
I mean, it's like it was a fluke win. That's what they basically said for them, which I hate for them, because it's like, well, no, but they earned it too, because they were probably the two most unlikely people to win the titles in the entire tourney.
Yeah, and they walked out as champions, and keep building them as a team, because they were starting to build some chemistry, and I think you could see the fans were getting behind them in this match, and that's what you want to see. So it did. It's Jube.
But, I mean, at the same time, it's what everybody wanted. They wanted Dakota and Io to have the titles. It, in my mind, also makes sense for them to have the titles, because they can dominate the division and you can build good face teams up to go against them. Because I think the eventuality will be Bayley takes the title off of Bianca.
Yeah, I think that's where we're headed.
And you have Bayley do the heel run with the group, where you have all the gold belongs to Damage Control, and now it's the effort of the women's division to try and get it back, which, depending on what happens with Sasha and Naomi, if they decide to come back, if they don't decide to come back, how that all occurs, you could tell a good story there, but it all depends if that's what they want. But you have other teams that could definitely come for the titles. I have seen calls for the NXT titles and the women's tag titles to be unified, and I kind of sort of feel like that maybe should be a thing, just because you don't have enough teams to support two sets of titles. So I wouldn't mind them seeing uniting the titles, and then all the women's teams can fight for those titles on NXT, Raw, and SmackDown, just to make things simpler.
We'll see.
We'll see, but I mean, the match was good. The match was very, very good. It was very well done. But I'm not angry either way. Like, it's just, it's, I liked what they did. I liked the shock value of it. And now they've, you know, now that we're past, Clash of the Castle, which that's why they put the titles on, Raquel and Aaliyah to begin with, was because they couldn't put them on Damage Control because they were going into Clash of the Castle. You know, if you have the tag champs lose, which they didn't, then that would be a problem. Or the newly crowned women's tag champs, I should say. So you put it on someone that isn't going to be on that show, then you don't have to worry about it. They held it for 2 weeks, and now you can put it on Damage Control.
Denver misses a 64-yard game-winning field goal.
64 yards?
Yeah.
How bad did he miss? Did he go wide or did he go short?
Short.
I would freaking hope so. That's absurd.
Omos beat two people. Yep, we're back there. Sticking with the women's division, Bianca Belair had an open challenge for the Raw Women's Championship. It was answered by SmackDown's Sonya Deville. She said she hasn't forgot what Bianca did, how she cost her job as a WWE official, and it led to the matchup between Bianca and Sonya. Bianca would win. After the match, Bayley came out, was mocking everything that happened, and she said that Damage Control would take control of the entire division, and her team winning tonight was just the beginning, and then called Bianca, told Bianca she has a big fat ego. Bayley said Belair wouldn't be able to sleep at night until she gets in the ring with her. Bayley said she hasn't wrestled in over 300 days and was still able to pin Bianca, and said they'll have the match when the time is right. Bianca was ready for the fight. Dakota and Io surrounded the ring. All three women got into the ring, were taking it to Bianca. Alexa and Asuka made the save. And then Bianca, Asuka, and Alexa cornered Bayley and drove her with a spinebuster as she rolled out of the ring to end this whole shebang.
This is really, really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this tremendously. I like how you're beginning to build the challenge. I like how you still have Bianca as backup, and that Bayley isn't just going to be able to run roughshod over. I still like that Bianca has her confidence. This is going to be good. This is going to be really good.
Gianni Wrestling made his return to the ring, going up against Chad Gable. Holy hell, was this a really good match.
This was fantastic.
They had what they call, the kids call, a banger.
Banger after banger after banger after banger. Banger.
Yeah. They had themselves a banger on Monday Night Raw. Johnny will get the win. Really good match. Otis went for the attack afterwards, but Johnny got out of the way. And then as Johnny was going up the ramp, Austin Theory laid him out with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Like you do.
This was a hell of a match.
This is, I wouldn't mind seeing this again. Like, just let them go. I fully appreciate that they're letting them work. And thank you very much.
Austin Theory, as we came back from break, said he's sorry that Johnny disappointed them. Theory said someone had to show Gargano how it works around here. Called Johnny Wrestling overrated, bottom feeding fish at the bottom of the food chain. This brought out Kevin Owens. Theory is tired of people ruining his moments. Owens said everyone has heard it all over the last few minutes, in a few weeks. Owens recalled telling Theory that he was the handpicked future of the company, but that's not the case anymore. That's not how things are done anymore around here. Owens said he and Gargano don't look like Theory, and Theory's like, no one looks like me. And Theory said he's done more in 5 months than Owens and Gargano have done in the last 5 years. And Owens said statements like that just show how much of a delusional jackass Austin Theory is. You've all these big accomplishments handed to you. And, you know, I couldn't blame him. I had the world title handed to me. Owens said the comparison stopped right there, and he's going to be more proud of it. He said there are hundreds of chiseled guys who come to WWE, like Austin Theory, and they've all fizzled out. But you can count on one hand guys like me and Johnny who have made it to this point, who have made it to the main event. He said he and Gargano are one in a million, and they are the heart and soul of this business. He said people like Theory are the appendix of the business because they are completely disposable. He said theory may be different, but he's watched him, and he doesn't think he has what it takes to be the future of the business. Austin Theory was trying to talk, but told him, you know, told him to shut up, basically, and told him to make his own moments and leave him, leave everything in the ring every time he steps in front of the people. He said, if you want to become the future and face the WWE, do it. You'll never, and just basically do it. Show me what you got. Prove me wrong is the basis of his message. And all Austin Theory had to say, you'll never be like me, Kevin.
That was the weakest comeback I've ever freaking heard. It was intentional. Like, it was so intentional, but it's like, oh my god, Kevin Owens just called you to the floor, right? Just calls you to the floor, cuts this amazing promo, just heartfelt, passionate, all the things, right? Just all the things. And all Austin Theory can do is flex and go, you'll never be like me, Kevin.
You'll never be like me, Kevin.
Like, good lord, son, sit down. Just sit down if that's the best you have.
And then Kevin's like, all right, maybe this will work. Boom, slap right across the face, and you heard that slap.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had a fight. They kept fighting around ringside. Theory went for the briefcase shot. Kevin went for a stunner. He caught him with a big right hand at one point, and Austin Theory left with basically a broken nose, because Kevin's like, I broke your nose, and this was just the beginning, bitch.
I'm here, honestly, for all of this. Like, good God, Kevin Owens just messing up Austin Theory's face. And I know it wasn't entirely intentional.
But it worked.
But it totally works.
So, earlier this week, Miz is interviewed at his home in Los Angeles. There's a camera crew, they're all getting ready and whatever. His daughters show up and they're playing the piano and all these things. Like, he's like, I have an interview to go to bed, got kids and whatever. Maurice is like, we have a premiere to go to. And Miz is like, we have, like, the interview hasn't started yet. Miz is like, if she was comfortable leaving the kids and everything. He's like, we have guards, dogs, alarm systems, and we have everything. Miz then starts, you know, mocking the crew for wearing shoes in his home. He then, you know, we had extra security last week, and Dexter Lumis still was able to do what he did, and the crew's like, what did he do? I don't want to talk about it. And he refused, don't ever say his name in my house. And, well, Miz was done with the interview. He threw him out of the house. He gets in his car, gets to go to the premiere, and they drive away. End of segment. Oh, Dexter was there.
Peering in the windows.
Peering in the windows, and then the end scene is he's in the home with a drawing of Miz and the family. So he got in, like Dexter Lumis does.
This was really good, because you're watching Miz cut the promo, and you're looking in the background. At least I was. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just automatically trained, because the way that they had Miz positioned was he's sitting in front of a window. And you know what's coming, but you're just waiting for it, right? Because it was really cool how they did it. Where Miz is doing the interview and he's cutting the promo and, you know, they're talking and, you know, they have to go. And as Miz gets up to walk away, you just see the camera sort of start to pan to follow him. And that's when Dexter showed up. In the window was when Miz gets up and walks away, and you just catch a really quick glimpse of him in the window, and then they leave, and as they're leaving, as they drive off and the cameras film them driving off, you know, to go to this premiere, the camera pans back to another window, and there's Dexter in it. It was so good. So good. Like, and he's got the picture that he drew. It's just fantastic.
So we'll see where that goes next week. Seth Rollins opened up Monday Night Raw. He would be the host. He said, the universe was in perfect harmony when he stomped Riddle's head twice and beat him at Clash in the Castle. He's living rent-free in that little pea brain of Matt Riddle, because Riddle challenged him to a rematch. Rollins said the problem is that he's not very interested in it. He wonders what's next. The fans chant for a rematch. He's like, I'm not doing that. That's not what we're doing. He said, it's been far too long since I've held championship gold. This brought out Riddle. They brawled. Seth Rollins ran away. And then appeared Judgment Day. Finn and Damian were in the ring. Said they weren't there to fight and claim that they're friends. Damian meant, me and you go all the way back. Me, you, and Rhea go all the way back. We're here to offer you a spot on Judgment Day. Baylor said Riddle told said that Dominic Mysterio has grown over the last 2 weeks and he would take care of Edge later tonight. Baylor said Riddle has, you know, they know Riddle has problems, but Baylor said he and Priest are problem solvers and, well, if you join, we'll take care of your problems. Priest told Riddle to rise with the Judgment Day or fall against him. Riddle's like, bro, we go way back, dude, but right now my focus is on Seth, so right now my answer is no, bro. Baylor says he knows the loss in Portland are a little more relaxed, so Riddle's brain may be a little too cloudy, so I'm going to make it easier for you to understand that you're either with us or you stand in our way. This led to Riddle going after Finn. They went to break, leading to Finn and Riddle, who had a really good match, which saw Finn get the win over Riddle after Seth Rollins with the King with Destruction and then left him laying with the stomp and telling Riddle he just needs to move on.
This was so good. I enjoyed everything about this. This is the nice way to close the Seth Riddle feud.
Or continue it,
but it's a nice way to introduce the Judgment Day into the mix and provide a little bit of a buffer, so you're not just going right to another rematch, but you have another headache for Riddle, where he got to Seth, he lost to Seth, and now the Judgment Day is like, okay, alright, you know, we're just gonna slide on in here, and we're just gonna kind of distract you from what you really want. And interesting how Seth was wearing purple tonight, isn't it, y'all?
It was. So Seth Rollins was confronted backstage by Bobby Lashley, basically setting up. Rollins was like, it wasn't the belt I was looking for, but hey, I'll fight you for that belt next week. So we get Lashley and Rollins next week for the U.S. title.
Hey.
And then there was Dom, sitting in the dark room. He said he's only been known as the son of the legendary Rey Mysterio, but that all changed at Clash, and he feels alive. He said Edge got exactly what he deserved. He said tonight he will finish what he started. He said he knows his father is disappointed, but it's his life, not his father's life. Rey should look in the mirror and ask him why he never got to know him. He said, for such a tiny man, Rey casts a large shadow, and he's just done living under it. Rhea, who created another meme, whispered in the ear of Dominic. Dom said, I'm not your baby boy anymore. I'm a man. Rhea looked very happy.
I like where this is going. I like how they're doing this. I want to see where it goes.
Yeah.
I like how they kind of subtly threw in there that it's like, you never got to know me. You were never there for me. Essentially because of the job, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure Rey tried his best to be around as much as he could for his children because he loves his children. But this one sacrifice that all professional wrestlers make, especially the ones that are incredibly successful, is that they lose that time with their family. They're not there every day because they're traveling on the road to going to shows or doing appearances or what have you. And as someone as popular as Rey, he was gone a lot. He's had, what, a 25, 30-year career, something like that?
At least 25.
26
years, yeah.
That spanned multiple companies.
Yep.
So it's like, I like that they included that little detail in there. I mean, like I said, I don't want to see the full father-son war, but I want to see Dominic fight for his own identity and be his own person and be his own man under Rhea's influence. And then eventually he rebels against Rhea and, you know, you have that fight. But like, I want to see Dominic at least fight for his independence to be his own person and not just be, as he said, Rey's kid, because he's absolutely right.
So is Edge and Dominic in the main event? Edge told Rey earlier tonight that he's going to do this because Rey couldn't, and Rey tried to talk Dom out of it, but Dominic wasn't having any of it because Poppy wants, Poppy gets, aka Rhea. So this was a good match between the two, but it needed some help from Judgment Day to conclude it. All the members of Judgment Day, including Pirate Finn, showed up attacking Edge, but before that, Edge had Dom in the ropes. That's when Rey came in. It's like, just stop it, man, stop it, it's my son, just stop it. And this is where Judgment Day was able to attack, tossing Rey into the announcers, and then all of them beat on poor Edge. And then we had a coup de grace to the bad leg of the Rated R Superstar to end Monday Night Raw after Dominic waylaid Edge like 5 or 6 times with the steel chair. Good ending.
Very good ending. Great ending.
Feels like we wrote off Edge again, but here we are.
That's okay, though. Like, use Edge very purposefully.
Yeah, told the story.
You know, he doesn't need to be... He's not the focus of the story. He's the catalyst of the story. He's what has allowed Dominic to break loose, to come under Rhea's influence, all of those things, because if Edge had never... Because ultimately, it's setting up something potentially between Edge and Rey, because if Edge had never formed the Judgment Day, none of this would have ever happened, right? Ultimately, this will all come down being Edge's fault because of his actions.
Yeah.
And in a way, his fight with Dominic is a consequence of his actions. And we eventually, I think, we'll see a divide between Edge and Rey where it's, I lost my son because of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm waiting for that realization to kind of hit where it's, this is your fault. You did this and you can't fix it. No one can fix it. My son is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that really hard moment. And I think it'd be cool. But I think that's where we're going. Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. But that is Raw.
Woo!
We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of Raw Post Show. But Thursday we're back for The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have stuff. I don't know. We'll have a discussion. We'll have news. We'll have notes. Hopefully no updates about a certain situation come out this week. And it all stays quiet. But yes, tune in for The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WallTalkRadio.com.
Available later this week, maybe tomorrow, will be The Rack Extra Views NBA 2K23. So check that out. Make sure you follow, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast. Just search The Rack Radio Show. Saturday night, midnight edition will be the final Fortnite with Friends of Chapter 3, Season 3. Woo! But after that, we'll be Super Radio, SuperRadioLive.com. Sunday it's WTR, Sunday at Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. If you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. It's also September, so you can sub the regular way for cheaper, for 20% off. Do the thing. You can also use credit card Rock and Sock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can go to my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward, where I stream Genshin Impact. So go check that out. We are still exploring Sumeru. We're going to go beat up on some Fatui tomorrow. Woo! And you can also check out my YouTube channel, linsward.rackradioshow.com, or just look for Lin's Ward on the YouTubes.
This has been a Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack, and right back here every Monday night for the Raw Post Show, along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.